Our scripture reading for today is the final portion of the account of the 10 lepers who were healed. It is taken from Luke chapter 17, beginning with the 15th verse. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. On the island of Kalaupapa, the third largest of the Hawaiian Islands, back in 1873, you probably have heard that a leper colony was established there, and the king of Hawaii at the time declared what they called mandatory isolation. Virtually became a health prison that anybody with leprosy would be sent there and had to stay there. At one point, the population of this prison town grew to 1,200. That's larger than the town of Nicollet. It closed in 1969. We often think of leprosy as stuff way, way back in biblical times, as we see in our text, but it's actually still around, although there is treatment for it today. Closed in 1969. I was 11 years old, and that health prison in Hawaii was still operating at that time. There are people, they claim today, that still live in that community who are scarred from leprosy so badly that they have stayed living in hiding in that town, and it's kind of understood that it's still somewhat of a remote place, although there is now a museum there, I've been told. But it made it difficult for them to go back into mainstream society. When we hear stories like this, and when we try in some way to imagine what it was like for instance, this man and these 10 lepers in Jesus' day as well, our hearts are moved in two directions. One is just sympathy and empathy, trying to imagine what it would be like to have this horrible disease that causes you to just be thrown out into isolation. But then also maybe a little bit of appreciation for our own health. If you're like me, it's very difficult to be grateful for your good health. I just tend to take it for granted. I just tend to assume that it should be there. And we just kind of go along with that assumption that I should be healthy. Well, I'm a young person, and that's just how my life should be. I'm entitled to that. And isn't that what most people get to enjoy for the most part? And it's not until we see somebody else who is dealing with difficulties like this, or until we hear about it or see it on the news, that we start to maybe stop and appreciate our health a little bit. Every once in a while, ESPN, the sports network, will run a story on a child, let's say, or someone in high school who's had a health condition through their whole life, or possibly has recently been diagnosed with cancer, and then they get a chance to go meet their favorite sports star, or possibly get to go into a game and take one shot in a basketball game, and boy, that really lights up the news when that takes place. And when you listen to the comments of people when they watch things like that, coaches or fellow players and things, they'll say things like, "Boy, it really makes you stop and count your blessings." And that exposes something about it. We don't do that usually. If we got to stop and have something dramatic like that actually make us count our blessings, it points out something to all of us, and that is we just do not naturally show gratitude to God. Rarely do we stop and think like this. My ability to just get up this morning, that's a gift from God. The breath that's filling my lungs even right now, that's a present from God. The sunshine and the rain that is just natural in our world that causes the crops to grow and puts food on my plate, that's a wonderful gift from God. The foods that I get to eat, all of the varieties that I get to pick from, There's so much of it around me, I have to stop myself from eating too much. That's all a gift from God. The rest and the sleep that I get every night. My ability to have some free time, to get to enjoy some things once in a while and be entertained. The fact that I've been kept safe today and I haven't been crushed or killed. The fact that I have the material goods and blessings that I have. This is all a gift from God. Every drop of water I drink is a present from God. Every heartbeat in my little chest is a gift from God. We just don't think like that. St. Paul, in preaching to the people of Athens, Greece, said, "In him we live and move and have our being." But that's not easy for me to remember. Why is being thankful something that's so hard for us? Why is being grateful for things something that is just like pulling teeth out of us? I know for myself, I'm ungrateful at my core. And I imagine myself quite often to be very self-sufficient. And I just tend to expect all the things I just listed off. I tend to expect that I should have them. I deserve them, I think. I should have them. The late night comedian Jimmy Fallon has made a great bit out of writing his thank you notes. Pretty funny a lot of times, if you've ever seen that. But writing thank you notes is not an easy thing to do. I bet if you're like me, when you got confirmed or graduated high school, your mom almost had to force you to sit at the dining room table and take out some pen and paper and write out those thank you notes. It's been 3 months now, right? We just don't naturally think in terms of showing gratitude. Recently, I've noticed that wedding couples, once they get married, have decided to just photocopy thank you notes. Some have even gone so far as to draw a blank and write what the gift is in, so they don't have to take all of that time to write the whole note out. You know, that might take 20 seconds. I mean, think of all the video games I could play in the meantime. Even in the dining center on a Christian campus, right here, how often do we sit down without even thinking about thanking God for the blessings that are sitting on the table right in front of us every day, day after day, and we just don't even think about it? The ingratitude in our hearts sometimes can just be overwhelming, and this is very disappointing to our God. Just look at Jesus in our text. He's waiting. He's waiting for these men who have been just blessed with this tremendous healing. It's going to dramatically change their lives. And that they just run off to enjoy that. They never come back to express gratitude except this one foreigner, the Samaritan. Jesus is kind of like the parent who has their child open this beautiful, amazing Christmas gift. And they love to watch them dance around in joy. But they're waiting. They're just waiting for that moment when the child comes back and realizes where it came from and expresses that gratitude. God watches us. He waits to hear us come back to him with words of thanksgiving. And when it happens, it moves his heart. It warms his heart. The gratitude that is grounded in Christian faith is what causes God to be so joyful and to draw his attention. Notice what Jesus says to this man. "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." When the Holy Spirit works in our hearts and stirs up our hearts and causes us to realize the desperate need that we have for everything in our life and causes us to realize that all the good things that we have and enjoy in this life are truly from the hand of God, when we're moved to acknowledge that toward him, when we, moved by the Holy Spirit, come to realize how desperate our condition would have been in sin and death and the prospects in front of our future were it not for a gracious God sending his Son into this world to save us, when our hearts are stirred up and moved by God to realize how fantastic his grace is, that he graciously forgives us every sin we've ever done, and on top of that, even our sins of ingratitude, and when we think about what he's prepared for us, what he has waiting for us, We think how good things can be in this life, to think that because of what Christ has done, we have perfect bodies waiting for us someday, glorified bodies. We're going to have perfect food, perfect bliss, a perfect home, never have to worry about sin or death or war or anything again. When our hearts, by God's Holy Spirit, are moved through His Word to realize that, and we in any little way express gratitude to Him and say, "Wow, thank you." That warms His heart. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Amen.